Now let's open our Bibles as we're sharing here today. We're talking about the power of the seed is the theme, but today the message title is, what type of ground are you? What type of ground are you? And so we want to look at that, and let's begin by looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, 24, and 25. And this is a familiar scripture, but we want to look at this in the light of what we're talking about, seed, corruptible seed. This is a comparison in the natural of something that's corruptible, perishable, with something that's incorruptible and not perishable. And so let's take a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And I'll wait. Some are getting there quicker because they got electronic devices. You just poop, poop, and you're there. But 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again. And you can look on the monitor. And it says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, you could say, seed by the word of God, which does what? Liveth and abideth forever. So the incorruptible seed cannot die. It's eternal. And that seed that came into our spirits, what does it say? Caused us to be born again, caused us to do what? Receive eternal life. So we cannot die because the seed can't die. It's incorruptible. Hallelujah. And it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But what? The word of the Lord, or the seed, endureth how long? Forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So we can see here that the word is eternal. We know that from the scripture. That means the seed, just think about this, the seed, the word of God that gets planted in your heart remains there forever. When you leave this body and you go to heaven, it's still there. It doesn't go away. So whatever you've developed here, it's just going to be expanded upon in heaven. What does it say? We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, we're going to know even as we're known. And the perfect does away with the imperfect. So when we get to heaven, all that's been deposited in us, it's going to be there. It's not going to perish because it's eternal. The word of God is eternal. Isn't that exciting to know? Hallelujah. So God calls his word seed. So we can see that, you know, when it talks about in this scripture here, it says that we weren't born again of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. So this outward man, you could say, is what? What does the scripture say in 2 Corinthians 4:16? He says, though our outward man is what? Perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Glory to God. So even though we're getting older, a little grayer, maybe some, I'm not getting slower, I'm getting faster. I'm moving quicker because we've got things to do. Hallelujah. Age to me is just a number. My youth is being renewed like the eagles. And my inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Praise God. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the increase. And he goes on, he says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but what? But God that giveth the increase. So in other words, don't think one's more important than the other. They're both equal. But it's God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Hallelujah. And what? See, we don't talk like this. This says ye, this is the King James. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, this word husbandry means that it means a farm or a garden. So we are God's garden. We are his farm, his field. And so the field, wouldn't you not agree to this? The field or the garden is owned by who? The farmer. And the scripture, if you go through scripture, it talks about the husbandman. He's the farmer. We're the husbandry. We're the farm. So he's designed it such that we're a garden. We're to be planted. I like some of the modern translations explain it better than saying husbandry. The New Living Translation says, you are God's field. See, that's better. You are God's field. You are God's building. He owns me. He owns my body and my spirit. And this spirit is his field to be planted. I like the Moffat translation. This is actually a little more expanded or a little clearer. It says, you are God's field to be planted. See, I like that, the Moffat. It says, you are God's field to be planted. And it says, God's house to be built. So we're his field to be planted. That's his design, that his word, which is him, to be planted in us. So what? We could be like him. We'll reproduce and be like him. His very nature will be reproduced in us. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So we are God's field in which his what? Incorruptible seed is to be planted. Now, I read this in some past lessons, but I think it's good to read again. This is something that Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he shared this from just years of experience, and he said this, why people don't get better results in their faith. He said this, the reason is because they reject the watering process. They reject the watering process. He said, when they hear the word of God the first time, they're excited and rejoice. That is the planting process. He said, the second and third time, our minds want to say, I know that already. I can quote that. And he said, they reject the watering process or the repetition process. See, it's the repetitiveness is the watering. So there's what? What did Paul say? He said, there's planting, there's watering, and then there's increase. So there's got to be planting, there's got to be watering, and then God gives the increase. And he doesn't say when that increase is, does he? He doesn't say. He just said there's increase. Glory to God. So we can see here that unless the seed is planted, it's powerless. You know, I was looking at this on the internet the other day, last week, and I was looking, what's the oldest seed that they were able to germinate? And it was interesting. They found a seed in Jerusalem, and they found it actually in Masada. Anybody know where Masada is? We were there a few times on these Israel trips, and they found a seed. It was, and they dated it. It was over, they carbon dated it. It was over 2,000 years old. And they planted it and it germinated. So the potential's in the seed, but you gotta do what? You gotta plant it. And then they had another seed that they found in Siberia, and they found it encased in ice. They said it was 120 some feet below the permafrost, and they carbon dated that to 32,000 years. And they planted it, and it germinated and produced a flowering plant. So seeds, just in the natural, will produce if they're planted and put in the right conditions. Oh, but this imperishable seed, it's planted what? In good ground. It's planted in this spirit. And God gives us some instructions, and he gives us some insight into how that should be planted and what we should do. When we talk about, and I'll just read this in Isaiah, he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall what? Not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what? That which I please. And it what? It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Where's it going to be? Where's he sending it? In this spirit. It's going to prosper if we don't tear it up. So one of the things that I was sharing in some lessons in the past was we said, when we're talking about words and we're talking about the word of God is a seed, that's Luke 8:11. The seed is the word of God. When we talk about words being seeds that get planted, you know, the question comes up, what is a word? What is a word? You know, we think words are just to communicate. God has a different perspective on that. Words really are containers of someone's thoughts. When you speak something, a word, you express yourself, it's something you've been thinking about. Just hang around people long enough. They'll tell you in words what they're thinking about. Good or bad. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. That's talking about words. And even if you go over, I'm just thinking, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. And then further down, it says, I did what? I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. So we need to think about, when we talk about thoughts, you can't see a thought. You can't feel a thought. And thoughts are spiritual. And that's why we've said in past times, it's very, very important what we think on, because the scripture says, as a man, what? Thinketh, so is he. So the things you think on are spiritual. They'll motivate you to do things. You can't see a thought, but you can see what? The effects of a thought. Good or bad. So thoughts are spiritual. Now, when we think about that, God spoke words, let there be light, and there was. That came from what? A thought. And he spoke his words, and something happened. It was created. So when we think about that in just in the natural here, things that we think on, people who write music, people who write books, people who write plays and movies are expressing in lyrics to songs, words they write in books, from thoughts that they've had. And they're either going to be motivated by something good or evil. And so if we let those words where? Come into our spirit, and we do what? We plant it, and then we meditate on it and think about it and talk about it. It will produce. It'll produce. So that's why it's always important. Watch what you listen to. watch what you're listening to on TV and reading and all of this stuff. And just because it will, if you let it in and you meditate on it enough, it'll form an opinion in you. And then you'll start talking about it and you'll make choices based on that. See, and that's why we have to be conscious of the fact that these thoughts are can affect us. Now, just think about this. We have thoughts all the time. We have many thoughts all the time. But things and thoughts that come in our mind don't necessarily produce the thought, thank God. Why? Because we dismiss it. We go, oh, no, and we just put it aside. We don't meditate on it. We don't think on it. We do what? Out of here. And so it doesn't produce because we didn't receive it. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands and just look forward and smile and say, praise the Lord. But how many have made a bad choice? We're all nodding heads. Now, why did we make a bad choice? Because we thought on something, a thought came, and we didn't dismiss it. We didn't dismiss it, and we thought on it, we meditated on it, we talked about it, and it took root, and we acted on it, and it produced. And that's what I'm talking about, that thoughts, good or bad, came about because we accepted it, we received it, we kept thinking about it. And Brother Hagin used his colloquial way of saying it. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over, but you can stop it from building a nest. You know, that was his way of expressing it. But the point is, if you accept a thought and you meditate on it long enough and think about it long enough, and act on it and talk about it, it's a principle. You'll produce. And so we want to do what? Think on God's words. Isn't that what it says? Everything that exalts itself, what? Against the knowledge of God, do what are we supposed to do? Cast it down. So that's why it's important to always get the word of God in. When you see something or hear something, you go, oh, no, I'm not doing that. No. Now, you may have to fight on the thoughts, but the point is, if you accept it, isn't that what happened to Judas? Judas took the bait. So, again, it's something that we need to be thinking about. Just turn over to Proverbs 4 for a minute. Proverbs 4. In verse 20 and 23, I want to try to get to something here where it works. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not, what? Depart from thine eyes. This is talking about receiving the word, meditating on it, talking about it. Keep them in the midst of where? Thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all thy flesh. Then I like 23. Keep thy heart with what? All diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Listen to some of these others. You know, when we talk about making choices, thinking on things, this is the Amplified says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that, that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The New English Bible says, guard your heart more than any treasure, for it is the source of life. Listen to the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. See, we blame in God, but we made choices. We have the authority here. You are a child of God. And you can stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. The New Century Version says, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. you know, just think about this for a moment. Simple example. How many in here are married? Well, at one point, before you were married, that was a thought. It was a thought that was ultimately consummated in a choice that you made. You understand my point? Same thing. How many went to or are in college? Same thing. At one point, that was what? A thought. And then you decided, I'm going to do that. You see? So things initially came from a thought. And then you decided, or God directed you, however, and you made a choice. I'm going to do that. You see? So, again, we need to be careful with the thoughts. And always remember this. The seed is what? What do we get done? What do we talk about at the beginning? That we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God. So, the seed is important. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the ground that the seed goes into. That's the key. And that's why we're talking about today, what type of ground are you? It's not the seed. The seed's eternal. It's the ground that needs to be prepared and kept up, you see. Now let's turn over to Matthew 13 and verse 18. Matthew 13 and 18. And I want to move along here. Matthew 13 and verse 18. And of course, at the beginning of that chapter, and I'm going to jump over to Luke 8 to kind of, because you can read this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I'm going to read it in Matthew, but I really like Luke's account. It expands it a little bit. But Matthew 13 and verse 18, it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Now, at this point, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "What doth this parable mean?" Because he had been speaking in parables to the great multitude that had assembled. And so they came back to him and said, what meaneth this parable? And he opened it up to them. This is what he said. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown," where? "In his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside." So now we have one type of ground here. This is wayside ground. The New Living calls it a footpath. And then there are other translations that I'm going to read that say something similar. Verse 20, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, and yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is what? He's offended." So he was coming along here now, but then something came up and he got his nose out of joint, got offended, right? "He also that received seed among the thorns." Now here's a third type of ground. So we had what? Wayside ground, we had stony ground, and now we've got thorny ground here, right? Thorny soil. "Is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches do what? Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So now we can see these three types of grounds were unfruitful. They didn't produce. And it goes on. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that" what? "Heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So they're bearing fruit, which is a good thing, right? Now, let's look at Luke chapter 8. Let's jump over there. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Similar account. This is Luke's account. And I like this because it explains, you know, sometimes people say, well, how could the sower sow seed on the wayside? And it says, he understandeth it not, and the wicked one comes and steals it away. How can the devil do that? Well, this explains this. Now, he's speaking in a parable here to the people gathered. And it says in Luke 8, verse 4, it says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a what? A parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, talking about the wayside. And it was what? Trodden down. The New Living Translation says stepped on. That word trodden, if you just look it up in a Greek concordance, you can look at them online. That word trodden, listen to what this says. It says to trample down. Figuratively, it means to reject with disdain. That's what the word trodden down means. Or, I don't want none of that. The word disdain means to scorn, to contempt, something regarded as inferior. So someone who has a hard heart, when the word is shared with them, right? That's what the scripture's saying. They reject it. It's trodden down. And that means what? It says, and the fowls of the air did what? Devoured it. Or you could say the ground was hard. What's the ground? Our heart. This is talking about our hearts. Right. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it does what? It lacked moisture. Remember what it said in 1 Corinthians 3? I planted and Apollos watered. So this is what Brother Hagin was talking about. The reason sometimes we don't get the success in our faith is because we reject the what? The watering. So seed needs to be watered. And so this here said what? It withered away because it lacked moisture. So the seed that was planted, it got in. But the continual listening to the word of God. Yeah, I'll go to church. Yeah, I'm busy. I'll get there next month. Or I'll listen to it. Maybe. No watering. And so that's why when it says that it withered away, and then, of course, when we read it over in Matthew, it said, stony places, he said, he received it with joy, yet he hath not root in himself. For when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, he's offended. No watering. See? So we go on. And it says, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. This is important. Listen to what Jesus said. He that what? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what ears? Is he talking about these things on the outside? No, he's talking about your spirit, your hearing on the inside. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. This is the disciple saying, what does this mean? Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, worry, and riches. Again, I just put in parentheses, you can't serve God and mammon. Amen. So you're swayed, right? And it goes on and it says, and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. See, this I'm going to focus on here for a few minutes. Say honest and good heart. Say honest and good heart. These are the two things that are significant with good ground. Someone who has an honest and good heart. Remember we talked about keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Talking about our heart, talking about our spirit. The good ground is someone who receives something. Into good ground is someone with an honest and good heart. And it goes on, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Listen to this in some different translations of this verse 15 that we're reading in Luke. This is the CEB, Common English Bible. It says, the seed that fell on good soil are those who hear the word and commit themselves to it with a good and upright heart. Through their resolve, they bear fruit. That means they stick to it. Right? Listen to the complete Jewish Bible. But what fell in rich soil? These are the ones who, when they hear the message, hold on to it with a good, receptive heart. And by persevering, they bring forth a harvest. Oh, I'm telling you, this is good to me. It's not just hearing it with joy, but you hold on to it and you persevere until fruit produces. That's the point. We're not just giving up because of some stuff that comes in our life. Listen to the New Century Version. And the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce fruit. Here's another one, God's Word translation. The seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, but they keep it in their good and honest hearts. See, they keep it. They don't tear it up. They keep it in their good and honest hearts and produce what is good, listen to this, despite what life may bring. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They keep it in their good and honest hearts, and it says, and produce what is good despite what life may bring. Amen. You're going to persevere and stick with the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because his seed will produce. And the devil wants to tear it up. He wants to get it out of what? Your heart. Because he knows that the seed will produce. This is my favorite right here. This is my favorite. Say favorite. This is my favorite. The Message translation. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. They're going to stick with the word until there's a harvest. Oh, yes, sir. I don't care what's going on. You're going to stick with it until there's a harvest in your life. You're going to stick with the seed that's been planted in your heart and not give up because of something that's going on or you're walking through. You're going to stick with the seed that's been planted until it produces a harvest. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's what pleases God. Glory to God. You want me to read that again? This is a message. It's my favorite. You can be your favorite too if you want. But I just like the way it says it. But the seed, talking about the word of God now, in the good earth, these are the good hearts. Oh, the heart. Who sees the word. They take it. And hold on, no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't care what your body's talking and saying. The seed's planted, and you're going to stick with it until there's a harvest of health and healing. Your finances may not look great, but I'm telling you, you've sown and sown and sown, and it's going to produce. It's going to produce. The devil wants you to think it ain't working. Yes, it is. You're defeated, and my father is the husbandman, and he's causing this field to produce. He's doing what? He giveth the increase. And the devil can't stop that. What he can stop is you in your thoughts, in your words, in your action. So we're going to do what? Stick with it until what? It produces a harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. And he's defeated. And God is looking for a people that will do what? Receive the word and stick with it until there's a harvest. Be it unto you what? According to your faith. It's impossible to please him without what? Faith. Faith is confidence. Faith is what? Being convinced. Faith is sticking with it. That's what that is. You want to put it in just plain English? It just means sticking with it. When it talks about patience in the King James, that means that I'm doing what? It means enduring. Hallelujah. Now, here's another favorite of mine. This is the Passion Translation. Now listen to this. This just excited me, the Passion Translation. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4. It says, massive crowds gathered from many towns to hear Jesus, and he taught them using metaphors and parables, such as this. A farmer went out to sow seeds for a harvest. As he scattered his seed, some of it fell on the hard pathway. See, now he calls it a hard pathway. And was quickly trampled down. Oh, see, this was somebody who just said, no. It said, quickly trampled down, trodden down, quickly. And unable to grow and became nothing but bird seed. Oh, I don't want that to be me. Some fell on the gravel, and though it sprouted, it couldn't take root. It withered for lack of moisture. See, the moisture could have caused it to take root. Other seed fell where there was nothing but weeds. It was unable to grow to full maturity, for it was choked out by the weeds. Yet some of the seed fell into good fertile soil, and it grew and flourished until it produced more than a hundredfold harvest, a bumper crop. Then Jesus added, shouting out to all who would hear, listen with your heart. Listen with your heart, and you will understand. I like this. Later, his disciples came to Jesus and asked him privately, what deeper meaning was found in this parable? He said, you have been given a teachable heart. Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. I like the way this says this. You've been given a teachable heart to perceive the secret hidden mysteries of God's kingdom realm. We want to have a what? A teachable heart. But to those who don't have a listening heart, my words are merely stories. But even though they have eyes, they are blind to the true meaning of what I say. And even though they listen, they won't receive full revelation. Here then is the deeper meaning of to my parable. The word of God is the seed that is sown into hearts. Listen to this. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God. See, now, if you ever wondered what a wayside and a hard pathway is, Jesus is saying this right here. He's saying the hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, this is the devil, the slanderer quickly snatches away what was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with joy, but soon after, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away. See, a season of harassment. Say a season. You may be going through a season of harassment. Don't let the seed wither because you're not watering. See, that's the time we want to water, when there's obstacles and harassment. So it goes on. Harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them. They wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth, and their faith is temporary. See, we want our faith to be enduring. The seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their own anxious cares. The riches of this world and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word and keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. So when we look at this, the good ground, see, and here's another thing that you can see from this. This whole thing is progressive. Can you see this also? It goes from soil that's trodden down. The next type of ground is what? Oh, it was received, but then it wasn't watered. Progressively a little better. Then the next was what? Thorny, right? It got in, it took root. But then the cares of life and what? The pleasures of life did what? Choked it. All three were unfruitful, but it was progressive. It was actually progressively showing you from one extreme to the next. Right? You can see that in the scripture. So the good ground was the ground that received the seed in what? An honest and good heart. That's a receptive heart. They obeyed it and patiently endured until a harvest came. They patiently endured. That's sticking with it, no matter what. Just think about those things. If a seed of healing was planted, then continue to water it and stick with it no matter what until a harvest is produced. If a seed of prosperity was planted, then continue with it, water it, and stick with it no matter what until the harvest is produced. That's what the Lord told me years ago. He said, if you'd work the word, he spoke to me. I was wondering with my mind why I was thinking it. I wasn't saying it. I didn't cast the thought down. But the thought is, why aren't you seeing the harvest in your giving year after year after year? because I wasn't working the word. And he said to me, if you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, it didn't take me long to make an adjustment with my words. And I began to see an adjustment in my finances. Didn't happen overnight. But you've got to do what? Receive the word, water it, obey it, and stick with it. And you'll see a harvest. Same thing. If a seed of love was planted, you see, this is where church folk live more than anything else. I ain't saying nothing to them. So the seed of love was planted, but then it needs to be watered, and you need to do what? Stick with it no matter what, until what? Love, God's love, is what? Produced in you. That's just the truth. They ain't talked to me today. They didn't text me. They didn't respond to me. You know, that can be friends, husband, wife, whatever, you know. But the point being, we need to let that seed stay in, water it, and do what? Stick with it no matter what. Till we see a harvest. What does Matthew say? Love your enemies, bless them that what? Curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So we're not to be offended when people don't respond the way we think they should. This says here, do good. Pray for them. That's keeping it watered. That's keeping things watered and not getting offended. So let's say this. I am God's garden for his seed to be planted. I am good ground. I hear the word. I receive the word, the seed. I cherish it. I hold on to it. I obey it. I persevere. And no matter what comes, I patiently endure until there is a harvest. I stick with it until there is a harvest. I am the healed. I am the prosperous. I am the wise. I am the bright. And I am an overcomer in this life. Glory to God. Put your own words in there. Put your own words in there. Make your words and say them from your heart and believe it. You're going to receive the word, cherish it, obey it, meditate on it, water your heart with the word. Isn't it an interesting thing? I was looking at this morning. Go over to 1 Corinthians 13. Just look at something for a moment. And look at this first few verses in the light of seed being planted and producing. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, just the first two verses, and look at this. I never saw this before. Sometimes when you start meditating and thinking about the word, you see other things. Pastor Clinton used to talk about that. He said, you take a diamond, you turn it, you can see something differently, right? But look at this, talking about something not producing. Look at this, the first verse. See, now you all it here, right? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not what? Charity. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That means you're operating in some of this stuff and you have not charity, no fruit, doesn't produce. I'm telling you, you see this differently. You see this and say, oh no, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with the word. Listen to verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, you know, I'll talk about, oh, I prophesy, right? Yeah, this will shine a little light on you here. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand what? All mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have what? Not a little faith, all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, you nada. You are nothing. That means no fruit. Because no productive fruit, because you didn't have love. So all that you thought meant nothing in God's eyes. You had all of this going on, and he said, let me just share something. It means nothing because you have not love in you. You're not operating in the love of God. See? So it's interesting. You start looking at some things and you say, you know what? I'm going to let the seed of God's word work in me, and I'm not going to be hard ground. I'm not going to be rocky soil, and I'm not going to be thorny ground. I'm going to be good ground. And how does good ground... See, this is where we're going here today. What type of ground are you? See, who's in control of the ground? We are, not God. We're in control of the ground because he said some got offended. That was rocky soil. And what did it say in the Passion? It said the hard path, footpath, were the hard hearts of men. So what can take a heart of a stony heart or a hard heart? What changes that? The word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the heart and the mind can be changed by the word of God. You may be in one of those conditions. But the word, the seed, can change the condition of the soil. You know, I heard a minister say this. It was very good. They said, you know, if you're not getting the results in a harvest, you need to do a soil test. I said, yeah, that's true. You need to do a soil test. That's so true. And you need to take a look at the soil and say, is that me? Because if it is, then it can change. You're not stuck. Because why? This imperishable seed can change it. It can be planted and then what? Watered. Hallelujah. I'll just share this one scripture as we close. We were reading this a few weeks ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. This is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. He said, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you did what? Received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, what? Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which what effectually worketh also in you what that believe. So the word of God is working in us. Why? Because we received it. We held on to it. We're meditating on it. We're guarding our hearts. And we're going to bring forth a harvest and stick with it no matter what. Because the seed will produce. It will produce. I know the word that came forth to this ministry by Brother Copeland. In 2003, he said, every good seed that this ministry has planted shall come up. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what season you're walking through personally, ministry, body. It doesn't matter because the seed will produce. And we just need not get off track and get in the ditch, but stick with it and thank God that it's coming. And we have to do just like what the word says. We have to believe and we've received it. And it's what? It's effectually working in us who believe. Isn't that what the scripture? I'm just thinking of this scripture. John 1:12, but as many as what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They had to believe him to receive the power to become the sons of God. We have to believe the word and water it, and it'll produce a harvest. Glory to God. So reflect on that. What kind of ground are you? And whatever ground it is, examine. It can be changed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. I know we went a little bit longer, but I'll tell you, this is not baby food. This is for us, you know, those that have been walking with the Lord, those that may be new, but again, you could be walking with the Lord 20, 30 years. You can learn something. You can see where you are and see, am I any of these types of soils? And what encouraged me with this is Luke 8:15, to stick with it no matter what until you see a harvest. Don't you dare trample down the word and question it. He will produce. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the seed of God's word that has been planted in our hearts. We received it and believe it, and it is effectually working in us because we believe. It's effectually producing in us, in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.